Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of The Yard. It's been a busy day. Been a long day, to be honest with you. Got home late from Pearl. Got in bed about 2:30, had to get up, had a meeting first thing this morning about some cool stuff. We'll have an announcement on that very, very, very soon. I'll be able to kind of explain kind of what we're thinking there. But something super cool coming your way. We hope to have everything tucked away in plenty of time for the holidays so you can take part in all this and have the opportunity to have something cool for Christmas. Yeah, that's part of my gig, right? To make your Christmas shopping experience more rewarding and easier, right? So there's something we're working on, and again, I'll have more details once we get some signed contracts, and super cool. I'm jacked about it. It's one of the funnest things I've ever worked on, and just so you guys know, it's a little different for me. It is, but I think it's something that you guys will treasure for years to come, and so just kind of teasing it right now, but until we get some signed agreements, you know, we're going to be careful. With every bit of that. Going to be careful with that. And so, productive day, but it's been a busy one, and I haven't produced a lot of content. I've had a lot of meetings. I have had a lot of time on the phone and, just kind of figuring some things out for all of you as well. And so, doing our due diligence, always chasing the story, always on the road, always on the phone. You know, I sometimes wish I was built a little different, to be honest with you. Now, I love my life. I'm not complaining. But I wish sometimes I could, give myself a little bit of a break, shall we say. But what happens is whenever I get ready to do that, then I just feel guilty, right, about not producing. I wake up every single morning feeling content deficient. And the guys that work for me will tell you, I am regularly saying, okay, what's the plan for today? What are we doing today? What are your plans to get things accomplished today? Because it takes more than me. And I have an amazing team. Very, very happy with our team and happy with our coverage. And when the final 24 hours of the 50% off sale, we've been running that now for a few weeks, but 50% off the annual subscription price, it's been a network special. It's not something unique to Jeans Page. So if you actually listen to my show and cheer for other teams, you can take advantage of that. You don't have to subscribe to Jeans Page. We wish you would, but you might be a little more comfortable with your home site being your school of choice. But about 24 hours now for the 50% off special. You know, and if you miss it, it'll go down to about 30% off, which is kind of a standard thing that we run. But nevertheless, that's where we are. And so if you have neglected to subscribe before now, now is the time to make the move. I don't know when they will bring this thing back. And again, it's a network thing. Like say for an example, like if we have a coaching change or something, right, in any sport, then we, you know, we bring back a big deal. You know, we'll say, hey, coaching change special, boom, here we go. And so with all the portal activity, we're going to talk about some of that on the show today. But there are a lot of things that are on my mind these days. I love Mississippi State Athletics as much or more than all of you. And there are some of you that, you know, you're kind of casual fans. Say, when we're winning, that's your favorite sport, right? When we're not, it's more endured than enjoyed. I think we all can appreciate that. And we've had some times with that, you know. And I think, really, when you look at this school year, it's been a very challenging school year for the Mississippi State family. It has been. I mean, you go 2-10 in football, and that sets such a bad tone the rest of the year, right? When we have a bad year in football, it's like it just lingers. You know, there were so many times, like last year, I talked to so many people that I know that are just dyed in the wool maroon, and they're like, man, I'm just not invested in this. I mean, it's like, it's so bad. I want us to win so bad, but I just can't get up. Like, even when I come to the games, you know, it's like I bought the tickets, I got the condo, you know, and I promised the kids I'd bring them. But, man, it's just so hard to have an emotional investment in this. And I get it. I do. I understand. And then you think, okay, hey, we think women's basketball will be pretty good, but we think the men are going to be great. And there are times they showed flashes of greatness. And then we weren't great. We were just really good. We weren't great. And so, and I've seen some people try to spin it to make themselves feel better. It's like, well, I think we may have overachieved. No, we didn't. We didn't overachieve. We didn't. We did make the tournament for the third straight year. That is something that I'm very proud of. And again, Chris Jans is a guy that's kind of been a mainstay in the tournament. But, you know, we hoped to get out of the first weekend, and we didn't do that. And so, yes, we're happy making the tournament, but we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with not reaching maybe our expectations or our potential, right? And then the women, of course, you know, we had an up and down year, but we get back to the tournament. So, yes, we're excited about that, but we're not satisfied. I think that's an important distinction. You know, we can be happy that we did something neat, but we can also be disappointed that we didn't do something great. I think that's fair. I don't think that's being negative. And there's some people out there, it's like, you know, I'm just, Steve, I just love Mississippi State. I support everything. And I'm going to always be supportive of Mississippi State, and I am too. But I think we can be honest with each other, right? Football season was a disappointment. It's true. Basketball season, again, happy with that, but a little disappointing. Women's basketball, we had some chances down the stretch to win some games, and we lost some we shouldn't. And it's okay to say that we're disappointed. And it's certainly okay to say we're disappointed in where we are in baseball. And I think this team is far too talented to have the record that it does. Now, granted, we probably didn't do enough in the portal on the pitching side. You know, we lost a pitcher to the draft, and we thought Jacob Pruitt was going to come in and challenge for a weekend spot, and that just hadn't happened. You know, and there were some people around Mississippi State baseball that, you know, was like, hey, you know, probably could have used another arm in the portal. And I think we were pretty honest about that on the show and on the website, that we probably are an arm short. Going to need some young guys to step up. We were super excited about Charlie Foster. We remain super excited about Charlie Foster. But he hadn't been healthy. And so here we are. So it's okay for us to articulate that disappointment. Now, some people do it maybe a little more bass in their voice than others. But nobody is pleased right now with where we are. Nobody. And that doesn't include just baseball. We want to win. And we want Mississippi State to win big. And everything. Is that realistic? Probably not. It's not going to stop me from hoping, though. And I know you guys feel the same way. And it's so, like, we get together, like, I got some friends, man, like, last night, you know, it's just people just kind of put their head down when they shake your hand. It's like, man, I feel it too. I do. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and they love us back. They do. They do such a great job, man. Just such a great job. There's a lot of places that I go, sometimes it's just kind of hit or miss. not the Bulldog Burger Company. There is a consistency there that you can count on. They do such a great job. They do. The service, spectacular. The atmosphere, great. The selection of the menu, just unmatched. It truly is. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me encourage you to get the Bulldog, okay? Don't get too cute too early. You go in there, you enjoy that, and you're like, you know what, hey, this may be the best restaurant quality hamburger I've ever had. And now you've always got like a gateway, right? You've got that foundational standard to kind of build from. And then the next time you go in, maybe you shake it up and get that freshman 15. Maybe you get that pimentology, add bacon, but I need to tell you, that's a man's hamburger. I mean, it is. You know, I guess there's some grown women out there that can knock it out too, but you understand my point here. You know, that's not for the newbie. That's an experienced burger eater's burger. It is. In addition to that, you need to have those spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And get that chocolate shake to go. And they have some specials. Don't forget to ask about the shake specials. That may seem like an insignificant thing. It's not. It's like, hey, you guys running a promo shake? Yes, we are. And sometimes it's seasonal. But you can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Let's break down the game, and then I'm going to offer you some thoughts about where things sit with me. So, you know, we get out there, and we get going. And it's pretty safe to say, even though Garrick Fry didn't come through here, we have found our leadoff hitter. You know, he has been red hot here as of late. I mentioned him as our close-it Blair player of the week. Weekend. Going into last night, he had an 8-game hitting streak. He was 15 of 32. That's getting it done. It is. So we've got that taken care of. But, you know, he goes down swinging here. And then Sawyer Reeves just absolutely mashes one. Sawyer didn't have a great weekend offensively. He was elite defensively. Comes through with a big double there, goes third on a wild pitch, and then scores on the sac fly. So it's 1-0. You love the quick start, right? And so how many times that happened to us and it feels like we're chasing the game? Instead, here we are being the chase-e rather than the chaser. Sullivan strikes out. Look, I didn't think Noah had a good game last night, at least not at the plate. On the mound, though, Noah comes out, gets a fly out at center field, gives up a double. And then here rather than fold, how many times have we seen it, right? We get out of this thing without giving up a run. You get Furness to ground out and then Udermark grounds out to third. So we survive that one-out double, get right back on the sticks, and then we get back-to-back punchies, and then Bryce Chance steps up an 0-1 count, and then there's a lightning strike. We have a 53-minute delay there. Come back, and we ultimately fly out to short left there. And so nothing really going there. Noah goes back out there, and again, a little traffic on the bases here, but it comes with two outs. We get a ground out and a strikeout, and then a single into left. We pitch around that, get Smith with the fly out to center. And you feel like, okay, maybe we can get 3-4 out of Noah this week. And more times than not, it's kind of been a two-inning stint. And then here we go here to kind of, hey, you get some separation. You feel like maybe you can squeeze another inning or two out of Noah. Not only is he retiring hitters, but there's some margin to work with. Gat Sanders singles back up the middle, and then Ross Highfield. How about the Madison Central connection there? Coming through, you got runners at second and third, and you're thinking here, you have to cash in. Two runners in scoring position, nobody out. How many times this year have we done that and not been able to come through? Well, this time we do. And it's Garrick Fry singling through the left side. That chases home a run. And there's a wild pitch, and here we go. It's a 3-0 ball game. And you have a runner at second in Garrick Fry with nobody out. And right here, I'm getting greedy, right? Because here's the thing. You can never have enough runs, ever. And so it's like, yeah, we got two. Now it's a 3-0 ball game. However, I've got a runner in scoring position with nobody out. I got to find a way to get that run home. Have to get the run home. So Reeves grounds out to third. They look the runner back, so we don't advance. Lengthy at bat there for Sawyer, too. I mean, he gets down 0-2, works the count full, fouls a couple things off, and then grounds out to third. They bring in Jones in place of Townsend, and then there's the wild pitch. So now Now, we have the runner at third and less than two outs. You got to get a ball in play here. Ground ball to second, gets a run home. Routine fly ball to right, left, center, wherever, gets a run home. However, we get back-to-back strikeouts. So, again, good inning. Could have been a great one. Left some meat on the bone there. We get Chang comes in, nine-hole hitter, kind of hits one with a hook there that kind of splits Reeves and Reese. And then there's the foul out outside of third base, and then we get we roll up a double play ball. So now, again, through three innings, we're up 3-0, and you think, yeah, we could probably get another inning out of Noah, considering we had some guys shut down last night, some guys were saving for the weekend, needed to get some insurance runs. Now, we go down, you know, two outs quickly here in the fourth as Hines goes down swinging, Stallman flies out to center, and Hunter had a tough night. There's no disputing that. They bring in hooks for Braden Jones, and he walks Chance, and then they balk him to second. So here we are again, and I understand it. Runner at second, two outs, it's tough to get him in. And I don't know what happened here, and it's one of those things, too. You'll get a limited time with Lemonis in postgame. I don't understand why we bunted here. I don't get it. On the first pitch, mind you. Now, it's like sometimes there's a sight read there, but we didn't. If we read this, we didn't execute it well. You got a guy that got a single up the last time up, and you got a runner in scoring position. You got to take some hacks here and try to get the guy home because a single in that ballpark may net you another run. So I don't know whose decision this was. I think it was a bad one. And, of course, the gift of hindsight certainly lends some credence to that line of thinking. But, again, they gift you the base at first, and then they balk you to second. You got to make them pay. And we don't. All right, bottom of four, we try to stretch Sullivan a little bit here, and it kind of proves to be a mistake. You can tell he wasn't especially crisp, but I also understand the decision to stick with him. But he walks Furness, and then Udermark doubles to left field. So now all of a sudden, they're in a situation where they've got runners two in scoring position, less than two outs. Fly out to center, tag and score, makes it a 3-1 ball game. That's it for Noah Sullivan. We bring in Pruitt, who walks Foley. More on him later. And then Moorman singles. It's one of those balls hard hit into the six hole. Reeves gets it and keeps it on the infield. But there's really no play to make. He attempts to throw to first. Hunter Hines had no chance on that. Wasn't in time or on target. I mean, and that's not an error. It's probably going to work out that way anyway. Just a well-placed swing. Smithwith goes down swinging, and then Ching reaches on the fielder's choice. We retire the runner at third as Ace just kind of grabs it, steps on the bag. So you get out of this with the lead 3-2, and you feel like, okay. You know, we had a little bit of a storm there, but we were able to kind of navigate through that. And, again, you know, two hits in the inning and two walks. And that first walk obviously comes around the scores. But top of the fifth, stay back on the sticks. And this is the inning, too, that stands out to me. There is always an inning where something kind of interesting happens to us. They're trying to give us the game here. Right? So Highfield hits an absolute smash that gets through the third baseman. They call it a fielding error. I thought that was the correct call. Yes, he hit it hard, but it's two steps to his left, to the glove side. You got to make that play in the SEC. It was pretty much a routine play. He doesn't make it, so Highfield reaches. But again, Ross hit the ball well last night. Friday grounds out to third, but Highfield's moving and moving swiftly, and so the only play is to first. Well, then Reeves is hit by the pitch. Heifel takes off, and he just kind of read it wrong. It's like he read it in the dirt, and it really kind of popped back up to the catcher. So he's out at third, and it's not even close. And then Reeves gets on, and then he's caught stealing as well with Ace Reese at the plate. Now, here's my thinking on this. I'm not taking the bat out of Ace's hands. And listen, nobody loves running the bases more than I do. I like to bunt, put pressure on the defense, steal, bluff, double steal, delayed steal. I love it all. But in this situation here, I think sometimes the discretion's a better part of valor. I like Ace being able to hit against a pitcher in the stretch. Not to mention the fact, too, he is a left-handed hitter. And so they have to hold the runner at first. And it kind of opens up the right side for you a little bit. They do shift over there. But if you look at it, it's one of those scenarios where, granted, if we're on the run and put a ball in the gap, he's going to score. But I didn't like it. I thought this inning, to me, kind of proved to be, to me, the shift in momentum in this ballgame. They go out and get a couple runs, and then they gift us a couple of runners, and we gift them right back. And then here in the fifth, what do? We hit Samford on a 2-2 pitch. Then you get a fly out, and then Furness hits a home run, and Oppo Taco there to give Ole Miss a 4-3 lead. Unimark strikes out looking, and then Humphrey just triples inside the bag at third in that big ballpark. That's going to happen. Then there's a fielding error on, we just whiff. We just whiff here. Ace just doesn't make the play, and run scores to make it 5-3. And at this point, everybody thought, well, here's the come apart, right? Moorman walks, and then we get Smithwood to go down looking. Smithwood killed us last year in Oxford, not too much last night. Now, we had every opportunity to fold right here. Again, we had been up 3-0 and felt like we were controlling the game, and then offensively we kind of stall out a little bit, and then here in the sixth we get going. And just as we mentioned, Ace Reese singles through the right side, left side here, takes the ball the other way. They're shifted over, and really polished hit there. And then it's a wild pitch, and he takes second. Then they walk Sullivan. So, again, leading up with two runners on right out of the gate, they make a pitching change, bring in Canny. Hines pops up on the infield. Again, tough night for Hunter. We got to get him going for the weekend. And then we kind of get the offense going. Stallman, who has proven that he needs to be in lineup every day, singles to center. That loads the bases. And then big hit Bryce. Bryce has had some situations where he hadn't come through, but the last couple ball games he has. He singles into right field, two-run score. We have tied the ball game, but we're not done. Again, good inning. Let's not leave the big piece of chicken untouched. Sanders grounds out. However, it works like a bunt here, and Chance goes to second, Stallman to third, and you start thinking here, right? You got to find a way to get the run home. You have to find a way here. Well, we do. Highfill, infield single, and it's a single and an error. Ross is going to beat it out. And then the kid throws it, which allows a Chance to come around on the error and score. So two-run score, only one RBI on the play, but they all count the same. It's 7-5 Mississippi State. And now you start thinking we're in great shape. Friday singles up the middle. Heifel goes to third. And again, I'm greedy. I am. I don't want it to ever stop. I don't want us to ever get out. And then Sawyer grounds out the second. But again, you start thinking a base hit there, you get a little more separation, could be a different ball game. We bring in McPherson, who I thought was outstanding. And it's kind of unfortunate the way things worked. But McPherson comes in, gives up a one-out single, nearly gets two, but then strikes out Furness swinging. Really good scenario there. Top of seven, and again, you get the clean inning from your pitcher. You need to get back on the sticks. And we have 3-4-5 up, and we get nothing. A line out, a fly out, a strikeout swinging. Lengthy at bat from Hunter Hines there, and I thought he swung at ball four. All right, bottom of the seventh, McPherson back out. We get a pop-up to the catcher. We get a strikeout swinging, and he reaches on a wild pitch. And how many times have we seen it? Here's the script again. We get the out. However, he's on base safely. Then we get Foley to strike out looking. Moorman singles to the left side. He had a good game. And then we get Smithwood to fly out to center. So we have the little error on the wild pitch. And it doesn't matter if it's wild pitch, pass ball, whatever. It's all unacceptable. We can't afford to give away free bases. And we do. But we navigate through that without giving up a run. And it really felt like maybe the game was settling. Now, top eight. They walk back-to-back hitters. Gunnar Dennis comes in, walks back-to-back hitters, Stallman and Chance, right? And so you got to get a bunt down. We don't. And get nothing out of the at-bat from Gatt. Highfill then pops up to the catcher, and Fry goes down swinging. So, again, they give us the first two runners, and we don't get a ball out of the infield. We don't even get a ball in fair territory. Those are the things that get you beat. And I think in many respects, maybe we were being a little bit, I don't know, maybe just kind of waiting for them to lose rather than us making the plays to win. You can never have enough runs. Bottom eight, Federico comes in and looks like we have him struck out. They don't give us the call, and then he ends up singling to right field. And you think, well, here we go. But instead, McPherson buckles down, gets Sanford to strike out swinging, gets Hill to fly out to center, and Furness grounds out to first. There's your inning. So we're going to the ninth. And I'm thinking here, I turned to Jacob Bain, and I said, man, one more run here I think would be very helpful. Because it changes the dynamics of how they approach the plate in the ninth. Reeves goes down swinging, and then Reese gets on a fielding error. And, you know, Furness trying to range to his left and backhanded, and the ball just kind of takes an odd hop on him. And then we get back-to-back strikeouts. Noah and Hunter both strike out. Sullivan on three pitches. And to be honest, Noah's striking out a little more for my taste. He's too good a hitter for that. He is. So at 7-5, we get to the ninth. We get Odomark looking. And right here, I think we're all starting to feel it. It's like, okay. Because how many times do you see it? If the leadoff guy gets on in the ninth, it seems like they come around and score 675,000% of the time. But when you get that first out, it seems the crowd gets into it. There's the rhythmic applause. Everybody's on their feet. Then Murphy takes the next pitch right back up the middle. And maybe, you know, maybe the fact they've gone through it again, you know, they see Murphy again, or see McPherson again, they got a better beat on things. And then Fawley takes a ball, fouls the ball off, and then hits one of the longest home runs I've ever seen hit in Trustmark Park. It was an absolute shell to tie the ball game. And at this point, I felt like we're going to lose. And I think many of you felt the same way. We bring in Dotson, and that was one of the questions that I had for Chris Lemonis. The fact that McPherson had pitched some of the most innings he has and thrown the most pitches he has this year, why not give Dottie a clean night? And he goes, well, you know, he's lefty, works out.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Up in the zone. They had a couple right-handers coming up and a struggle with spin, so we thought that was a better course of action. And, of course, the gift of hindsight, we can say, well, that was a bad decision. But I thought at the time that give them a different look, right? They've already seen McPherson, and he's gotten you to this point. He really settled the game and got you a hold, and now you got a chance to get the lead and close this thing out. I would have brought Dotson in. And you know what? And they may have hit a couple of home runs anyway, and everybody be like, Steve, you're an idiot. You should have left McPherson in. He was grooving, right? I mean, that's just part of the deal. That's how it always is in sports. But it felt like me we were going to lose. Dottie comes in and, of course, gets a ground out to second, a pop-up to third. And we get out of the inning. We got to go to the tent. We go 1-2-3 here in the tent. And competitive at-bats, no doubt. Stallman strikes out swinging after a lengthy at-bat. Chance flies out to center. And then Sanders strikes out looking and, you know, too close to take. We need a base runner there, but we got to make it happen. And then the nine-hole hitter, a guy that was, you know, that came in and took over at short for Ching, gets a single to the right side. And again, lengthy at bat there. You're trying to finish. We get ahead 0-2, get a couple fouls, and then he singles. And that's kind of how you think, oh, here we go. Well, we only just added fuel to the fire. We sent a wild pitch to send him to second base. So now the winning run is at second with no outs. And they're feeling it. You know, we went from, you know, two innings before feeling like, hey, we're about to close, or an inning before, about to close this thing out. And I hear they are thinking, we're about to walk the Bulldogs off. Dottie gets Samford, the leadoff hitter, to strike out swinging. And then Hill fouls out the right field. Great play by Stallman here. Long run for him. He makes the play. And you're like, hey, we're one pitch away from playing another inning. Wild pitch sends Randall to third, and then Furness singles basically over to shortstop's head. And that's a ballgame, as Ole Miss walks it off 8-7. And it sucks, man. It does. Losing sucks. Losing to Ole Miss sucks even worse. It does. And I don't care if it is a midweek non-conference game. I always want to and expect to win those games. Hudson Calhoun credited with the win. Dottie gets the loss. And again, I felt like Dottie should have came in the ninth. That's my feeling. And again, I don't know how things would have worked out, but I think McPherson, who had pitched brilliantly, he had gone three innings, and at that point had given up three hits and no runs, six strikeouts, no walks. And you just felt like, okay, maybe you want to extend him a little bit longer, you know, and it came back to bite us. And again, we've got the gift of hindsight here, but it, you know, I just think, hey, he's already gone through the order once. It's a young freshman guy. Let's get him off the mound and give Dottie a clean inning to work with. And instead, we give up the tying runs in the ninth and a losing run in the tenth. And so, yeah, I know I'm Monday morning quarterbacking that, but I would have done that differently. And I know many of you probably felt the same way. That's why I asked the question. It's like, why not give Dottie a clean ninth? And so they were kind of, you know, subject to spin, kind of susceptible to that. And but there we go. Bulldogs strike out 11 Rebels. The Rebels strike out 15 Bulldogs. Yeah, tough night. So your hitting heroes, Garrick Fry, 2-for-5. Ross Highfield, 2-for-4. Had a couple other Bulldogs with one. So even though he did not factor in the decision, our close with Blair, player of the game, is going to be Ryan McPherson. And I think we're seeing him kind of grow up before our eyes. You know, he had that meltdown at LSU. Look at that in contrast to how he pitched last night. In a game that matters more in the eyes of many, even though it wasn't a conference game. And I think that bodes well for the future. I think McPherson is a weekend starter next year. I don't think it's really, to me, it's no question about it. I think he's going to be a dude for us. But close to Blair Chandler, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Put Blair's 24 years of experience to work for you, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. Blair Chandler is the name to know, not just in these parts. He's licensed to practice in multiple states. So don't think, well, I don't live in Mississippi. Blair can still get a loan done for you. Reach out and find out today if you're a person that qualifies for his services. A Bulldog through and through, has a place here in town, multiple season tickets in multiple sports, loves Mississippi State, rides the wave of emotion just like you, but Blair is an equal opportunity lender. If you're an Ole Miss fan listening to this show and you've got mortgage needs, reach out to Blair as well. Nobody better. Get his 24 years of expertise in your hands, because there's a lot of people out there vying for your business. This is one of those things you don't want to overthink. Stick with a winner. Stick with Blair Chandler. Visit him at closeofblair.com today. All right, time for today's top 10 list. It's always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. That's a name you should know. Chances are you've got a guitar player in your circle of friends or family. And, you know, maybe they found their spot. Maybe they have. Or maybe they haven't. And I believe in supporting each other in the Mississippi State family. It's very important to me. And I'll give you a good example of that, and it's not going to interfere with our ad here. When I got ready to move to Starkville, and I got ready to buy my house, I wanted to deal with a Mississippi State real estate agent. As a matter of fact, when I called the realty company, I said, I've got to deal with a big Bulldog fan. I have to. And then when I got ready to do financing, I said, I want to deal with a big Bulldog fan. I didn't even want the appraiser or the inspector to be outside of the Mississippi State family. That's how deep it runs with me. You're like, well, you know, we can't pick and choose. I said, it doesn't matter to me. You find somebody, you don't have to tell me their name, but you find somebody that is loyal to Mississippi State. It runs deep with me. It does. And there are sometimes I'll even pay a little bit more to make sure that we keep money in the family. And so I share that with you because that's how passionate I am about Kalito Guitars. They're based out of Lake Jackson, Texas, a Mississippi State owned and operated company. Yeah, it's Bulldogs through and through there. And so if you're looking for a new guitar, maybe you're looking for some accessories, and it seems like playing guitar, you're always looking for something new. You can find so much of that at KalitoGuitars.com, or you can call them at 979-297-4733. Again, that's 979-297-4733. Known for their incredibly high-quality instruments, great customer service, and it's expert advice. And I could speak about this company for a long time. I've got a guitar stand from them. It's very fashionable. It's very well made. I'm very happy with it. I think you will be as well. So whether you're looking for a guitar itself, electric, acoustic, classical, you're looking for strings, cases, gig bags, rather than throw that money at Amazon or something, let's work with our brothers and sisters at Kalito Guitars. And we'll give you some incentive to do so. 10% discount just by mentioning promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That also gets you free shipping and no sales tax if you live outside the state of Texas. In addition to that, a 5% donation will be made to the Bulldog Initiative / Bulldog Excellence Fund to help further the athletic interest of Mississippi State University. So a high-quality instrument at a discounted price with no sales tax or shipping, and a donation to Mississippi State Sports. You can't go wrong with Kalito Guitars. Be sure and check them out today. C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. Okay. A lot of talk about changes these days. Lots. We've done a list like this before, but we're going to do another one. We're going to freshen it up. We're going to stretch it out. And so I think we can all agree things need to change when it comes to Mississippi State baseball. Now, I'm not advocating anybody get fired yet, but we've got some games ahead of us, and we got to win games. And one of the things that some of you have kind of pointed out, it's like we're inventing ways to lose, you know, and that becomes part of the mental part of it all, right? I expect to win in everything I do, right? Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that I don't play golf more often than I do. It's because I don't like to play games that I don't think I can be competitive at. It's true. And if I get out there with some friends, I'll hack it up. You know, just go swing the clubs a little bit, just to kind of get out of the house. But I'm not playing any tournaments. I used to play some scrambles years ago and had a lot of fun doing it. And I was probably a B player, you know. But the reality of it is that I don't like to play if I can't win. And maybe that's a shortcoming of mine, but that's how I feel. I expect to win. I do. I expect to win in work. I expect to win in play. I expect to win in my personal life, my private life, and my business life. I expect to win. And I get up every day with winning in mind. And I want Mississippi State to win. I want Mississippi State to win academically, athletically, on a research side. I want the famous Maroon Band to be all superiors, right? I want everything associated with Mississippi State to be of the highest quality. And I understand that we've got to be good stewards of our money. I understand that. It doesn't mean that I can't hope for it. And I get tired of this poor old state mentality, to be honest with you. I do. It is one of the things within our fan base that I hope that we can breed out. And I joke about this, kind of half-heartedly joking, when I go speak. I said, you know, please have your daughters and granddaughters marry a positive Mississippi State fan, because we're trying to breed that negativity out of the fan base. There are so many people They just simply expect us to lose, and it's like they expect bad things to happen to Mississippi State. Like, we're not worthy of it. And I don't buy any of that. I don't buy that at all, that we're not worthy of winning. I just don't buy it. But we need to win some baseball games. You know, we did not build that great cathedral of a baseball stadium to not host regionals. You know, we have not invested all this money into our baseball program over the years to not be a real threat at Omaha. You know, and I said this on the show a while back, and I'll reiterate some of that again because I want to make sure that the point is well received. Everything that we do, everything, needs to be about the national title. Not hosting a regional. We want to do that, but that's a means to a greater end. Not just getting Omaha, the national title. Everything we do, we need to talk national title every single day. You know, we have the Omaha room, and that's cute. It is. It is. But I think we have to change our mentality. And that's everybody involved. It's fans, coaches, administrators, and of course the expectations come from all of us. I want to win the national title again and again and again. I want what LSU has. I do. They are the measuring stick with which we measure ourselves. And used to, in the 80s, we dominated the Southeastern Conference in baseball. And then in the 90s, they took over and wrestled control away from us. And when you go down there, everything is about tradition. But it's also, too, they're not satisfied. Kind of like we talked about earlier. We cannot be satisfied. I remember going to Foley Field a couple years ago, and I sat out there, and they had that 1991 National Championship banner out there. And I said, you know what? That's not going to be us. We're not going to be here 30 years after the fact celebrating a national championship from 30 years ago, a single, solitary national championship. We're not. It's not going to be us. And everybody needs to buy into that. No matter how you feel about Chris Lemonis, no matter how you feel about certain players, no matter how you feel about your seating arrangements at Duty Noble Field, no matter how you feel about other fans spending their money to give food to other people or players or teams or whatever, no matter how you feel about any of that, the one thing that I think we can all agree on is that we all have to pull in the same direction to win another national championship. We do. One of the greatest times in my life was when we won the national championship because we were in one accord. All of us, even those that don't even really love baseball, but you love Mississippi State, and Mississippi State had been successful. It's, you know what, I'm going to go grab a national championship shirt. I don't know when I'm ever going to get a chance to do that again. I've never done it before. I've never known what it feels like to walk around with a national championship shirt on with my school's name on it. And so our differences didn't matter anymore. We were like, hey, you know, that's cool, man. I mean, I love men's basketball the most, but you know what? I'm going to support this because I love Mississippi State. And we may have differences of what offense we should run or what defense we should run in football or what guy we should recruit or who we shouldn't. But man, we were the kings of the college baseball mountain, and we're going to celebrate that. And then 22 and 23 happened. And then some people is kind of like, you know what? I'm glad it happened, but man, I can't support this. And we had a good year last year. Not a great year, and certainly not a great year by Mississippi State standards. Not even a good year by Mississippi State standards. But you know, for everybody else, yeah, it was a good year. Got back to a regional, won 40 games. It's a good year. And when you kind of put that into context of 22 and 23, you're like, okay, let's step back in the right direction. We'll get back to going to Omaha regularly. You know, people forget. You know, we went 18, 19, and then 21. Three straight tournaments we went to Omaha. And, of course, that culminates with a national championship. And I think we believed that we had graduated. That's how I felt. I was like, we're not going back. You know, we're going to be the new LSU. That's who we're going to be, you know. And it hadn't happened. But the changes that I'm talking about, and this is the thing too. Let's say we make a coaching change. That's not enough. You're like, what? No, no, it's not enough. This is a shared responsibility. And I'm not advocating either way, but you know, one of the things that I have shared with some of you guys privately and some publicly, you know, we've got to be fully committed to this. Everybody. And there are going to be some bandwagonists. That's just life. But the core Mississippi State Diamond Dog family, you know, we've got to get into agreement and move in one direction. And then we'll have some people join us, right? Just like the Pied Piper, right? As we begin to make some progress and get down the road, there'll be other people like, yeah, we'll be able to say we've been here all along for whatever that's worth. But we got to make changes. And I have had some conversations today with some people on campus at Mississippi State about some of those changes. We've got to have a change in mentality. You know, I do not want to be the team that year after year after year, we're having to like count down the games. What's the minimum standard for us to get to the tournament? I am not a minimum standard dude. I am not. Guys, all I do every single day, is work on Mississippi State stuff. There'll be books, the show, the website, social media, coming up with new projects, generating new revenue streams, trying to bring something cool to the market for all of you. That is all I do. And occasionally, I'll grab my guitar over there and I'll play some Sex Pistols or something like that. You know, I can pull that off. But it's me and the dogs every day, every day. I'm an empty nester now. I'm not running back and forth to dance recitals or ball games or coaching Little League baseball or soccer anymore. It's all I do. And I'm not saying that everybody's got to be like me. But everybody that's paid by Mississippi State needs to be like me. Everybody. Everybody needs to be in one accord about winning the national title. Period. Now, of course, you got people that work in other sports. That should be their charge. You say, well, Steve, we've never done it. Well, that doesn't mean we can't. You know, we can't just say, and there was a guy that made a comment. I was on the Cole Kublik show, and there was a guy that made a comment, and I don't know that I responded to it, and I apologize, sir. I don't want you to think I snubbed you. But I get a lot of notifications, and it's tough to keep up sometimes. But he goes, man, I wish our goal wasn't just to make a bowl game in football. And you know what, sir? That's not my game. That's not my goal. Now, some years, right, and I think this is one of them, you know, we're kind of climbing back up the mountain. But we can't be satisfied. We just go into the Liberty Bowl. All due respect to the Liberty Bowl. We got some Bulldogs that are part of the Liberty Bowl community, right? They'd love to have us. But you know what? As much as they would love to have us, I can tell you the Bulldogs that work for the Liberty Bowl would love to see Mississippi State go somewhere even better. Right? If we're at their level, they're going to pick us every time because they love us. And they know we're going to bring fans, we're going to have a good crowd, and we're going to have a good experience. But they would want something greater for Mississippi State. And I get so sick and tired, man, about the people like, oh, we can't do this and we can't do that. With that kind of attitude, you're exactly right. We can't. Because we won't. And that's what happens. We got to change our own self-talk about what we expect from Mississippi State. And some people think, and it's in ignorance, that, well, if we just, you know, change coaches, that everything changes. You're wrong. Wrong. The expectations come from us. The support comes from us. You know, the demands come from us. Period. And there are many people out there that, hey, it's just entertainment for them. And you know what? God bless them. They're not the ones that are going to advance us at any point. You know, I had a meeting earlier today, and it's one of the things we talked about. You know, Mississippi State fans still hold the record for licensed merchandise sales post-College World Series. 4 years. Nearly 4 years after the fact. There's been three other national champions, and we still hold the record. So it's within us. But I get fired up about this stuff. And I see some of the same faces, man. And I can tell you there are a lot of people that feel the way I do. And I feel in some respects that we are kind of a sleeping giant. But it's not just about a coach. It's not just about a culture. It's not just about a season or two or three or four. It's about tradition. And it's about how we view ourselves. You know, when people speak negatively about Mississippi State, I take those things personally. I do. And maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I take them personally because Mississippi State matters that much to me. It's part of my identity. It's what I believe. It's what I support. It's what I love. You know, and that's how I feel. And I know there are many other people that feel the same way. But when I walk around campus and I see things that don't appear right to me, and I don't, it's not a matter of opinion, right? It's not a matter, some of the things that I would say, you would say, yeah, you're right, that's going to be fixed. I need everybody involved. Everybody involved to do the best job they can do every single day. And there are a lot of people out there that think they work hard and they don't. They don't know hard work. And this is not just germane to Mississippi State. I'm not lumping just our people into a pile to beat on them. But I have this burning desire to win every day. You know, it's like every day we get up, and what's the day look like? What's our story count? What do we have? What are we working on? Because I want to win. I want to win. I want to give you guys the best coverage we can possibly give you. And I don't know that we have enough of those personalities. And I don't need anybody working at Mississippi State that's here to pad their retirement. I want to win. And then if you benefit from us winning, then that's a win-win. But if you're winning and we're not, then that's a loss for everybody. And those are the things that are important to me. And I hope that you'll feel agree. So here is my songs about change. And so we're going to go quickly through this because I preach a little bit longer. We're not going to pass around an offering plate. And if we did, we'd give that money to Bulldog Initiative. But number 10, from Band of Gypsies, the live album, it's Jimi Hendrix Changes. And this one's more about personal changes. But anytime we can throw the Saint Jimmy onto our top 10 list, you got to do it. And don't you wish you had that Jimi Hendrix jacket? You know what I'm talking about. One that looks like they're in a band. He's in a band, like, you know, a marching band. Don't you wish you had that jacket? You know, and that collar he used to wear. Great, man. Number 9, we've had this one on before, and we're going to go with the original Black Sabbath's Changes. I actually think it's one of Ozzy's best vocal performances. Very easy to play on the piano. Even if you're a novice, you can do that. Number 8, David Bowie's Changes. Everybody knows that song. Very popular track. David Bowie, a guy too that found new life in recovery. He did. Number 7, Three Doors Down. They have a track called Changes too, and it's kind of a deeper cut. Some of you guys are familiar with that, and I love Three Doors Down. I do. I love them. I know that they took some heat because of their political values. And let me share that, if I can, if you will indulge me a moment. And this may step on some toes, and if it does, I hope it hurts, okay? If you are so incredibly insecure in your political, religious, or whatever beliefs that you cannot listen with an open mind to somebody else, share their beliefs, then I submit to you that your beliefs aren't worth much. Nobody will ever talk me out of mine. Now, I've got some friends that we don't agree politically. They're still my friends. I love them. There are just some things about them we don't agree on. Their identity to me is not rooted in their politics. And so I support anybody. Like, you know, guys, there are so many bands out there that I am not politically aligned with, but I love their music. And say, well, Steve, how could you support that? Well, I'm not supporting their political platform. I'm supporting their talent. And if these things bring value to my life, why would I ever exclude that? Why would I censor myself and deny myself a chance because somebody said something on a on an interview that I don't agree with. You know, you live your life as you choose. But I am not going to I'm not going to ruin good friendships over the tribalism of politics. You do what you want. Number six, REO Speedwagons roll with the changes. I recently saw Kevin do an interview, and they asked him, what's your favorite song to play live? And this is what they said. REO Speedwagons said, roll with the changes. And not only because it's a fun song to play, but because of the message. It's a great track. It is. Moving ahead here, and this is none of these final five are going to be quite poppy, shall we say. Number five, Godsmack, Changes, off the Faceless album from 2024. You like Godsmack? I didn't like them for a long time because, you know, Sully Arna and Nikki Sixx weren't exactly big fans. And, you know, it's Motley Crue for life for me. So I had to hate on Godsmack, you know. But they buried the hatchet. I came around. And Dana and I saw Godsmack at Rocklahoma, and they were incredible. And then, like, 6 months later, I went and saw them in Little Rock with Shinedown. Incredible again. Love those guys. Number four, back to one of my favorite albums of the 90s. And I've had a chance to talk to Kevin of Candlebox, also at Rocklahoma. And thanks, Mark. But this is one of my favorite songs from their debut album. It did not get the notoriety that some of the other tracks did. You know, Cover Me and, of course, Left Behind. I mean, you know, come on. You know them. And if you grew up in the 90s and you were, you know, maybe in college in the 90s, you understood how significant that album was. But one of my favorite tracks on that album is Change. Love that song, man. Kevin's vocal just absolutely rips. Number three, one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite bands of all time. It's Changes from Tesla. And off the Mechanical Resonance album, the debut album that just kind of took the world by storm. I think it's the third best album. And as you say, Steve, really? Yeah, I think it's the third best album. To me, the best one is, without any question, is The Great Radio Controversy. And then I go kind of go back and forth. I love Bust a Nut. I do, but it didn't have maybe the same value because music was changing. But I kind of go back and forth on that one. I mean, there are some albums that are better than others, obviously, but I think Psychotic Supper, I think they really kind of found their groove with The Great Radio Controversy. So there was no sophomore slump with them, and then they built upon that with the Psychotic Supper album. And you're like, well, Steve, I don't remember Psychotic Supper. Yes, you do. That's Edison's Medicine. That's Call It What You Want, Song and Emotion. Great, great track on there, What You Give, right? It's just, it's grand. It's grand. Number two, and I know BJ Cummings knew that this song was going to be on the list today. He didn't know where it was going to be. He was hoping it was going to be number one. It's not. But I go back to that, the first Bon Mallon album. And the second one is great too, man. If you, Mouthful of Cavities is great. But to go back to the debut, I honestly think it may be the best song on the album. It's Bon Mallon's Change. And what's so crazy about this, when I had this, If This Dog Will Stop, the stereo I had kind of a channel that was kind of in and out. But Shannon's vocal at times came through a cappella. It didn't have like the musical accompany it. And it made the song sound so much more vulnerable to me. And when I listened to it today, it doesn't have the, it still resonates to me, but I wish almost that was the case. That's how the song was originally recorded. But and when life is hard, you have to change. It's true. Number one, and some of these things have changed. And I remember the very first time I heard this song, I said, this is going to be a hit. And it has been a hit, and it remains a hit. And I think it's one of the more important songs of the Tupac catalog. It's the song Changes. Of course, they sample Bruce Hornsby in The Range, you know, and it's great. And of course, some of the things have kind of come to pass, but the lyrical quality and that thing is great. But it's just one of those songs too that kind of makes you think a little bit. And so we got to be ready to embrace change. good, bad, or indifferent. The only constant in life is change. And I thought we would maybe celebrate changes today, but that doesn't necessarily always mean personnel. And I think about these things too. Like when I was in retail management, the thing that I learned is like, you know, we kept running through warehouse guys, you know. And then I finally figured out they weren't being properly trained by my warehouse manager. So I got involved. I said, okay, guys, here's the expectation. You know, and then those guys were so incredibly grateful for my time and attention, as the warehouse manager was too, because he learned some things too. There were some things that he knew that I didn't know, and vice versa. And all of a sudden, as a team, we began to have a very well-trained team, and our customer service got better. And so those things, are important too, because every time that I have had to fire somebody in my career, and I'm not bragging about that, it's never been something that I have taken lightly. You know, because you know they got to go home and tell family. You know, it's just that it sucks. Even when people deserve it, man, it's just, it absolutely just guts me. It does. And I want to do what I can, you know, to help. But, you know, that's life. You know, it's at some point we all get cut. And unfortunately for some, sometimes that's, you know, kind of back to blind melon. Well, life is hard. You got to change. Because wherever you go, there you are. Right? It's important to understand. But those are my thoughts. I hope you enjoy the top 10 list. You can find our great list on Spotify at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Roy runs behind every once in a while, but he gets you guys caught up. And you can follow him on Twitter or X at Dogmatic67. And you can find me at all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. One of the reasons that I love them is they have the things that I want, right? I want to outfit my home with the latest in Mississippi State merch. I want to wear the fresh Mississippi State apparel. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. For all the Bulldogs in your family, your one-stop shopping alternative is Campus Bookmart. The next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces, and you can peruse their fine selection of Mississippi State wares. If you can't make it to town and you'd love to support a Starkville business, and we're always big on that, we love to support small business, especially in our community, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal listener to this show, we'll give you promo code BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson, and gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete, whether it's shirts, decorative items, diploma frames. Again, graduation is coming up. It's a good alternative for you. Be sure and push those and be the parent or relative of choice for the Mississippi State graduate in your life. That's campusbookmart.net. Okay. Kind of a weird night in the SEC last night. A couple things went to script. You know, Texas A&M in seven innings takes care of Sam Houston State. The Bearcats now 8-33 on the year. A&M 24-16, but they're red hot. Red hot. 8-10 in the league. Big series coming up. But, yeah, they walk them off there in the seventh with two in the seventh to win. Aiden Sims, the win there in relief. It was one of those things, too. It was like the game was basically over in the middle of this ball game. I mean, it's 11-0 in the fifth, and then Sam Houston gets three in the seventh and forces A&M to hit in the bottom of seven. And they do. Yeah, they do. Tennessee, Mercy rules Lipscomb 11-1. They also walk it off with six runs there in the seventh. You know, Lipscomb gave Vanderbilt all kinds of trouble last time. More on Vanderbilt here later. Michael Sharman now 2-0 after a three-inning outing. And Andrew Fisher, former Ole Miss Rebel, 3-for-4 with a home run in the ballgame. Florida takes care of Georgia Southern also in seven innings. 12-1 as they walk it off with four in the bottom of the seventh. Luke Heyman, the very talented first baseman in Florida, 3-for-4 night with six RBI. I'm sure he ate well last night. Great game for him. Kentucky absolutely embarrasses Louisville in Lexington. The rivalry win for Nick Mangione and the Wildcats. 17-5 in seven innings. And they didn't walk it off there in the seventh, but kind of put the game out of reach with a seven-run fifth Patrick Herrera, 3-for-3, 5 RBI, and a tank in the ballgame. Ethan Walker earns the win, working 4 innings, 6 Ks, 2 earned runs. And those came in the 3rd and 4th innings. So, you know, good start for him. South Carolina walks it off in the 10th against North Florida. North Florida is 21-20. I believe their nickname is the Ospreys. I think that's right. It's a good name. It is. 9-9 in their league, but South Carolina now 24-18 overall. But, yeah, walk it off there in the 10th to win 3-2. Brendan Sweeney gets the win there in relief. K.J. Scobie with a 2-for-4 night with an RBI. Texas, kind of a wild game here, and they had to have it, right? They go to the 9th inning, down 11-10. And they hit a grand slam to win 14-11, and give Texas State a lot of credit. You know, they went into College Station and won earlier this year. Texas got after them the last time, but this time, guys, it was 11-8 headed to the 8th inning, and you feel like, man, these guys are going to get it done. Ethan Mendoza with 3 hits in the ballgame, but yeah, they don't walk it off. But 4 in the top of the 9th. And again, I don't know what's right about this and what's wrong, but nevertheless, they did walk it off. And the SEC side has been interesting. An upset last night, Middle Tennessee State, the Blue Raiders, now up 19-22 overall. They go to Nashville and they beat the Commodores 5-3. We've said all along the difference between Vanderbilt good and Vanderbilt great is the offense. They get 8 hits last night, but only scored 3 runs. Rustin Rigdon with a couple of hits and a home run in a losing effort for the Commodores. But give Middle Tennessee State some respect. Big win for them. Alabama and Samford played there at the University of Samford, or Samford University, whatever we're calling it these days. And it was a 7-7 ball game headed to the 8th inning. Alabama tacks on 3 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th to win 11-7. A dozen hits for the Tide. Justin LeBron, 3-for-4 in the ball game. Former Diamond Dog Jeffrey Entz, 2-for-5 with a solo shot in the game. Kind of get things rolling. Oral Roberts marches into Norman, Oklahoma. Oral Roberts, of course, from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Not too far from the side of Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. But Oral Roberts wins 5-3 over Oklahoma. And it was a nip and tuck game. Oklahoma gets up 1-0. Oral Roberts comes back. Takes 2 in the second, adds 1 in the 4th to make it a 3-1 ball game. It's tied after 4 as Oklahoma gets a pair in the bottom half. And then Oral Roberts the rest of the way shuts out Oklahoma hitting. Adds 1 run in the 5th and 1 in the 9th. A nice insurance run. 12 hits in the ballgame for Oral Roberts. Kyle Branch, the talented second baseman of Oklahoma, 2-for-4 in the ballgame. Arkansas, 10-0 winners over Little Rock. They're also playing today, but the game was pretty much over by the 4th. It was 10-0, and Arkansas cruised to an easy victory. Former Vanderbilt Commodore Cam Coziel, a guy that Mississippi State kind of recruited a little bit, just didn't have a spot for him. Right, with Hunter Hines coming back, we didn't know it at the time, but we had taken Reed Stallman and just weren't sure where else Coziel could play. He goes 3-for-4 in the ballgame. Missouri State. Remember last week, Missouri comes from behind and beats Missouri State? Well, not this time. Missouri State mercy rules Missouri. They walk it off in the 7th with 4. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in Missouri in the offseason. I mean, they're not giving really any funding to Missouri. And they've had some difficulties up there. You know, Lunsford left for Wake Forest. He was expected to be the Friday night starter. Pimentel was the Sunday starter last year. They move him to Friday, get into fall practice. And next thing you know, Tommy John surgery, right? So they don't really have a weekend starter per se. So you know that pitching in the midweek is a real adventure for the Tigers. Bogenpohl, a 3-for-4 night for Missouri State. The Bears get the solo home run from him. Max Knight in relief. 2 innings pitched, is now 3-2 on the year. Auburn. An offensive masterpiece it wasn't, but it sure feels good to get a top 25 win if you're Butch Thompson. I'll interview Butch tomorrow. You can find that feature exclusively at jeanspage.com. But Auburn gets 1 run in the 2nd and then makes it stand up. So really good pitching effort in the midweek from Auburn, allowing just 2 hits in the ballgame. Auburn just 5 hits themselves. That offense has been kind of, you know, up and down, kind of hot and cold. We'll see. Then this weekend, But yeah, that's a good win. Georgia Tech currently ranked 24th. Clemson, number two, top 10 matchup. And I think Georgia might be a little bit overvalued. Yeah, they're number 10 right now. They lose the game 3-0 last night, just three hits. And again, I'm not trying to suggest anything, but they go to Clemson and they get three hits and get shut out. You can kind of begin to do the math on this thing with Georgia. I mean, honestly, 33-10 overall, 10-8 in the league. But when they go on the road, it's tough to win on the road. But when you get out of that softball field that they call the baseball diamond, Foley Field, it's a much different dynamic. Again, I'm not trying to suggest anything, but it's just weird to me that Georgia becomes so anemic offensively on the road. Just my feeling. The surprise of the night, Northwestern State marches into Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and they mercy rule LSU 13-3. Were you expecting that? I wasn't. Derek Carrill with a solo home run in a losing effort for LSU. LSU jumps out to a 2-0 lead. The Demons, with six there in the third, one in the fourth, get a little separation, and then you think, okay, well, LSU will come back. The magic will get there. But no, Northwestern State with three in the sixth, three in the seventh, nine hits and 13 runs. So it appears that the your walk was a bit of a problem for LSU. LSU also made three errors in the ballgame. Looking at today's action, and again, that Arkansas and Arkansas-Little Rock game is currently, going on now. Razorbacks up 2-0 in that ballgame, and I suspect that they will respond well. Let's take a quick look ahead. We do have two series opening up on Thursday. Oklahoma is at Georgia. It'll be interesting to see how Oklahoma pitches Georgia. It'll also be interesting to see how that Oklahoma offense hits at Georgia. Just interesting, right? But that'll be a fun series. I think Georgia probably wins it by playing at home. And then, of course, Missouri will be in Tuscaloosa. Missouri 13-27, 0-18 in league play. Alabama 9-9, down to 500. There are a lot of people that thought, hey, Alabama's for real. They ranked number 18. But, again, we kind of realized that maybe there was a little fool's gold with them. Arkansas will be at Florida. That series gets underway on Friday. We'll touch on those a little bit later. South Carolina's at Kentucky. Nick Deminge, our buddy. You got to like Kentucky there. Of course, Mississippi State will beat Auburn. And Vanderbilt's at Ole Miss. That could be an interesting series. Because here's the thing. If Ole Miss can turn this thing into an offensive series, I think Vanderbilt is in trouble. But Vanderbilt's pitching has been so good, I think they're going to limit Ole Miss some. I won't be surprised if Vandy wins the series. Now you say, but Steve, that's not a hot take. That's a number 9 team against a number 23 team. That's true. But it's tough to win on the road in the SEC. But does Vanderbilt have enough pitching to get it done? You know, watching that Ole Miss lineup last night, I think that they need a little help. And if Vanderbilt doesn't give them some, I think they can take them. Tennessee at LSU, that'll be a fun one there because I think both of these teams have kind of come back to reality a little bit. They're still top 10 teams, don't get me wrong. But they're both 12-6 in the league, and LSU got embarrassed last night by Northwestern State. Maybe they got caught looking ahead a little bit to Tennessee, understanding the magnitude of that series. But that's probably a split. Probably. Texas A&M at Texas. Man, how much fun would that be to watch? You know, it's a thing you start thinking about. The good thing is, you know, we play, and then by the time our game is over, maybe you can catch the end of A&M in Texas. They don't get underway until 7 p.m. Central. And so maybe you can get home and watch a little bit of that. If you're coming to town, run to the condo, and maybe grab a cold one and turn on A&M in Texas. And again, A&M's 8-10 in the league, but man, if you look at what they've done here in the last three weekends, it's easy to see that this is a team now with Sorrell back in the lineup, which kind of enables everybody to hit where they should be. That's a very significant part of it, right? Very significant part of it. So that's your weekend. And again, you know, we love baseball around here. We're going to continue to cover baseball at a high level. And that'll include our offseason too. Nobody's going to give you better coverage of Bulldog baseball than us. We'll have the availability reports coming up soon. and we'll know who's available and who's not. I suspect that Chase Hungate will be questionable at best. You know, we'll see how things go, but I don't expect that he's done for the year. I know some people kind of feared that. I don't believe that's the case. But you will push ahead and be ready to go. Yeah, for sure. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Man, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And if you're not planning to do that, you certainly should. We've stayed there. We had a blast. So conveniently located. It's 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Had to lug all that stuff to campus. Just hang out there a little bit longer with your friends and family when you don't have people coming by interloping and on your time watching your TVs or taking your food. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's why you do it. I don't know. But it seems that could be a bit of an inconvenience. But stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon-to-be 3 baths. That great full-service kitchen. The wet bar, if you're so inclined. The great back porch area. The fire pit area. Conversations around a fire are just more meaningful. I don't make the rules. I just abide by them. It's true. And I love it. It's out past the Highlands. Now, you can Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You'll have the opportunity at that point to kind of peruse through all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, there's going to be some booking options that pop up. Airbnb and VRBO, you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. With promo code BSR10, that's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, BSR10, get 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. Yeah, if it's free, it's me. If it's discounted, I'm all about it. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay, I whiffed on Monday, and many of you loyal listeners reached out and said, hey, Steve, you didn't say much about the spring game on Monday. And you're right, I didn't. Now, there wasn't a lot to see. I was there. But there were some things that I did see that I think are important. And we're going to talk about that in our final segment of the show. The first thing that I would say, probably the biggest takeaway, is you're watching those guys in drills and stuff is one thing. But to see them field level on the field at Davis Wade Stadium playing real football kind of gave me some encouragement about the defense. Now, I can't do anything about alignment issues, but I can tell you that the players that are wearing your uniform filled the uniform out a lot better than the ones last year. And that I'm not being critical. That's just the reality of it. And so it appears that our portal efforts to kind of shore up a defense with more SEC quality looking players was successful. And again, I'm concerned about the size of the offensive line. I think on the interior, we're fine. And I think our first two tackles are good. I think Luke Work and Jimothy Lewis are going to do a good job for us. But, yeah, we need some more guys. We picked up one yesterday, Jaquan Bolden, a native of Canton, Mississippi. Spent 2 years at Mississippi Gulf Coast. He chose Purdue over us out of Perk to go play for Coach Johnson, Marcus Johnson up there. And goes up there, breaks a hand, red shirts last year. I read some comments, and that's what happens a lot of times. Again, that poor old state mentality rears its ugly head. Well, if he wasn't good enough to play last year, Steve, what makes you think he's good enough to play here? Well, he had a broken hand. You know, I don't know if you've played offensive line before, but there is a lot of hand movement involved in offensive line play. Yeah, it's tough to play with a broken hand. Played a game of football, you know, very difficult. I don't suggest you try that. But, yeah, at the very least, we're going to look a lot different getting off the bus. But, yeah, we got a couple other guys we're trying to get, and, of course, a tight end. And we'll talk more about that on Friday's show. But, yeah, we've hosted, I think, half a dozen official visitors so far out of the transfer portal. And, you know, more guys going in, you know, that's part of the game. You know, and, again, as I've shared with you guys, we're going to have more go out than come in because we're still kind of oversigned. And one of our astute posters on Gene's page kind of keeps us abreast of that, too. That we, you know, we still got a couple more things we got to clear up. And as of this afternoon, I checked, we had not had any new entrants into the portal. And we have until Friday. You know, so we still got a couple days to go, and we'll see how these things break loose. But back to our spring game evaluation. I thought the highlight was the play of Kamario Taylor. You know, he threw that long pass to Aiden Williams, and I think Aiden's going to be able to help us too. Aiden lays out, makes an incredible catch. It's called back because of a penalty. We've got to clean that up. But it looked like poetry in motion, right? He drops back and just throws an absolute dime. And Aiden Williams, even in the spring game, giving some incredible effort. And I think in many respects, he's kind of been born again here at Mississippi State. And that's not a shot at Ole Miss. If for some reason he kind of got buried on the depth chart there, very talented player, and has a new opportunity to kind of show what he can do. But then Camario, too, the great throw to San Francisco McGee as the scrimmage began to close. I thought that's a great way to end it. And a lot of people are now saying, Steve, does Camario have a chance to start this year? Well, I don't expect that. And I don't know if that's best for him, but I do think you got to let him play. But the worry with that is, right, you get him on that field because of the fact that he is a guy that exudes confidence and instills confidence in those around him. It may be tough to take him off, you know, honest to goodness. But I'd like to see us kind of progress him the way we did Dak. You know, give him his four games, let him work and play in those games, get his feet wet, and the next year you've got a bona fide quarterback competition between he and Luke Kromanok. And so that's interesting to me. I thought Fluff Bothwell looked really good too. And as a matter of fact, got a really cool picture of him that Jacob Bain used today, of him bursting through the hole there. He just brings a physicality that we didn't have before. And I think that's extremely important. Now, this time last year, I was very concerned about the running back room. And at that point, it still included Jeffrey Pittman. I was like, you know what? And I even asked Levy multiple times about, what do you think about the running back room? He's like, you know, that room's got to get better. And I don't know that it really did. Now, Davin Booth, of course, really kind of got going, you know, towards the second half of the year. Of course, he did not get the benefit of spring practice last year. So it took a while to kind of get him back into football shape. And then in addition to that, too, to kind of have him ready to go. And that ended up, you know, kind of changing some things, too. You know, we began to kind of run the football with a little more authority around the middle part of the year, and I think that's when he kind of got up to SEC shape. But now you've got the benefit of him going through spring practice, and then in addition to that, having the opportunity to have 2 years in the offense. And that was one of the things that everybody talked about. It's like, you know, hey, can Booth be a guy that we could have another year with? And due to that temporary restraining order, or TRO, they have permitted him to play another year. And I'm looking at Booth's numbers right here so we can kind of speak intelligently about that, you know, about his progression as a player last year. But, he had, against Eastern Kentucky, he ran for 39 yards. Against Arizona State, 6 carries for just 7 yards. One of those went for 5 yards. He had one, you know, nice catch in that ballgame too. Against Toledo, he ran for 12 yards. And then we kind of get going a little bit here. We had 75 against Florida, 59 against Texas, and that's on 18 carries, and then just 32 against Georgia. But the rest of the way, pretty good job other than the Egg Bowl. Against A&M, he runs for 79, 93 against Arkansas. And you remember that game, if it doesn't get out of hand, you probably run the football a little bit more in the second half. UMass, 76 against Tennessee, 20 carries for 125 yards. Against Missouri, he goes for 124 on a dozen carries, and Ole Miss 16 for 38. And that Ole Miss defense is pretty salty. But, again, it took about halfway through the year, maybe 4 games for him to kind of really get going. And so we expect a stronger start from him this year. But I think also, too, you know, Johnny Daniels being back as kind of a companion piece I think is important. Johnny's not a guy that's going to be a big workhorse for us, but he runs hard when he's in the game. But I think Fluff is a real difference maker. I think Fluff brings some grit that we didn't have, especially on second and third and short. You know, how many times last year did we kind of try to run a finesse play when you just need to line up and run right at people? We struggled at times last year to run at people, and when we did, Johnny Daniels did a lot of that. And I think Fluff, just because of his size and girth, will be a guy that's going to be a lot more difficult, more in tune with an SEC back in that respect. And so that room is tremendously better. Some off-camera conversation with a couple of assistant coaches, you know, kind of off the cuff there. They believe this wide receiver room is as good or better than last year. And people are like, well, Steve, how's that possible? You know, we lost Mario Craver and we lost Kevin Coleman. I don't know that you can replace Kevin Coleman one player. That's my respect for him. I thought Kevin Coleman was outstanding. I don't know how many guys could make that play against Arizona State where we just throw the hitch, he makes a guy miss, and then outraces everybody 80 yards for a touchdown. You know, that doesn't happen very often in maroon and white, but I think you've got some guys out there. You know, Evans, that guy I think is going to be a good player for us. But, the tight end room, of course, got to be tweaked a little bit. We know what you got with Seydou, but Seydou's really more the pass-catching tight end. He's not really the blocking guy. We'd love to get a blocking tight end if we can get one. Justin Ball needs to take a jump for us, but that's a concern for me. You know, the tight end room and the offensive tackle position, just because of the fact, I mean, how many games do you play where you have the same five starters on the offensive line in the Southeastern Conference? It doesn't happen very often, you know. I thought the secondary actually held their own pretty well. And, the play calling was very vanilla. You didn't have a lot of double moves. You didn't have a lot of play action stuff. You just kind of got out there and played around a little bit. And that's kind of by design, too. I mean, what do we really gain from that? But, we'll see. I think, again, this is a work-in-progress group. But, just looking at the front, looking at our linebacker room, and, again, Stone was really good last year, but, Stone was a guy, too, that probably needed a couple of games to kind of, acclimate to the demands of the position. But also, too, I mean, how many times last year did Nick Mitchell and Stone Blanton have to fight off offensive guards because we provided no resistance on the defensive interior? Over and over and over. And people are like, they're just running right out the middle, Steve. Why can't a backer fit the gap there? Well, it's because of the fact they're having to fight for their lives out there because an offensive guard's gotten to the second level with not even the least bit of resistance. And so I think you're going to see linebacker play improve because of the fact that we're going to have some bigger bodies up front that can absorb some of that push. We didn't have any of that kickback, on the defensive line last year. We couldn't knock people off the ball. And so this year I think we're going to have the ability to do that. And so I think that front seven is going to be better. And as a byproduct of that, I think your corner play is going to be better because they're not going to have to cover as long. We struggled so bad last year at rushing the passer, as you guys are well aware. I don't know that I've ever seen numbers quite like this from an SEC team. And I think you guys would agree. I mean, you saw it over and over again. I don't mean just getting the quarterback on the ground. We struggled to do that too. But we had trouble impacting the quarterback. We couldn't move him off the spot. And that's one of those things that I think will change this year just because of the fact that we're going to have a little more size and strength and skill to kind of get in there and make some things happen. That's one of the most important things that changes with all this. Guys, we had 10 sacks last year. That's it. Played 12 games, had 10 sacks. That's not good. As you guys are well aware, there is just absolutely no chance in the Southeastern Conference to go out there and put things together when you can't impact the quarterback. You know, everybody has to cover longer. Everybody has to be aware of the guys kind of working back to a quarterback because there were so many times they were able to kind of just evade pressure for a little while. And the next thing the guy's got to cover 5, 6, 7 seconds. And so everybody on defense benefits, I think, from us having a much beefier front. And that is evident to me. And they did have some sacks on Saturday. And that's the question you asked, though. Is that solely on the development of the defensive front? Or is that because of the fact on the offensive line we just kind of had a hodgepodge mixed together? It's probably a combination of both, right? So we've still got some work to do on the offensive line. But in just talking to the guys that we know and respect, guys like Jacoby Jackson, Cannon Boone, those guys, they'll tell you. You know, it's been a lot harder to move those guys off the spot this year. And so that only will make us better on both sides of the football because, we had to be strong on the offensive line. There were some times last year we played pretty well on the offensive line and didn't really get credit for it because we struggled at times to score the football. But we did protect the quarterback pretty well at times, too. In some other games, we didn't. And that's going to be a big part of things. This portal stuff is so important. And I'm also hearing, too, this may be the last year of the spring portal. Not official. But there's a lot of chatter about that. And as I mentioned on the show here a couple of shows back, At what level of sports do you get to renegotiate your contract every 6 months? Well, you don't. Only in college football. And so that's something that I suspect could change. And there's a lot out there, you know. Right now, there's the important hearing about settling the house settlement. And one of the things that it's kind of a sticking point is roster limits. And so the judge herself does not want to approve the settlement until we settle these roster limit things, because she didn't want a bunch of student athletes to be, you know, removed from the roster and not have the opportunity to continue to play or get a scholarship. You know, that's an important aspect of this. So we're going to see, you know, some things kind of, you know, work themselves out in the court system. But the reality of all this is we are basically playing on a broken system. And everybody will agree with that. It's not a hot take. It's a broken system. And it's got to get fixed. You know, it's just like the whole thing about Amaleva, right? He goes to UCLA after having agreed to an NIL deal. That's, you know, the language in that is a lot of times not enforceable. Goes to UCLA. Then his brother leaves Arkansas to go to UCLA. And Hunter Yurachek, the AD from Arkansas, is like, hey, we invested some money into this guy. Well, we expect to get our money back. And that's the thing that I think is the most frustrating for everybody, is that everything right now is too skewed towards the student-athlete. I have always been an advocate of what's best for the student-athlete. But there has to be more protections for schools, because you can just take our money and leave, and then we don't get the benefit of you guys ever playing in a game. And that's the whole purpose of football, right? We signed you to play. We didn't sign you just to practice. We didn't sign you just to rep us on social media. We signed you to play in games. And so the way some of these deals are structured, they get this money up front, the signing bonus, and then they go get in the spring portal and go somewhere else, get another signing bonus, and have never even played a game. You know, that's wrong. That's absolutely broken. I think that's one of the things that we can all agree on. And it's so interesting, these people say, well, Steve, it's a free market economy. There's truth in that, but also, too, there has to be guardrails where there is protections for both parties of a contract. It can't be a situation where I can just show up and grift and take your money, and then you get no benefit of the money that you've invested in me. That's just wrong. And so, again, we'll kind of keep our fingers crossed between now and close of business on Friday. I guess at midnight, the portal will close for the spring. And I think, again, the more people that I talk to, you know, it's one of the things, you used to, the portal was open 365 days a year. So if Mike Leach had to go step into somebody's hindquarters for poor performance, they could just say, well, I'll just leave and go get in the portal. Well, then they put these windows in place. So we're still kind of tweaking this thing. And eventually, I think they'll come up with a workable model that provides equal protection for both student athlete and university. And that's an important part of it. You know, at Mississippi State, we got to be good stewards with our money, and we certainly can't make an investment in players that just pack up and leave and go back into the talent pool market and free agent market and then begin to kind of stack up bills. And people are like, hey, well, good for those kids. Well, you know, we created a sport that we all love, that represents our universities, that we all love, and we need to make sure that the universities, the coaches, the staffers, everybody involved have some type of assurances that when they invest money into these players, that they're going to have the opportunity to coach them. Again, what we have now is broken. It's got to be fixed. But nevertheless, I'll be back with you guys on Friday. If you hadn't done so, go visit DutyNobleBook.com. You can get all my sports titles there. That's, you know, The Dude, Alpha Dogs, Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Dogpile. Every Bulldog needs a copy of Dogpile, and The Dude, for that matter. In addition to that, come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. My wife, Dana, will do a great job. I went to a suite last night at Trustmark, and this lady walked up and said, your wife is awesome. I agree. And she gets rave reviews. She's a great hostess and loves interacting with our clients. And so call 662-268-7601, and you'll have the opportunity to speak to her about all the benefits you can get from floating. And it's not just like floating in your pool, because gravity is still at work there. When you float in our pods, you are floating in essentially a weightless environment. So it's a sensory deprivation type thing. And I float regularly, not as regularly as I've wanted to as of late, but it is quite the stress reliever for me, and perhaps it could be for you Nothing has been better for my anxiety than that. And not medication, not sitting down talking to somebody. Nothing has been better for me than that. And again, a chance for just to get a mental reset. Just have an opportunity to just go and get away from all of the noise in life. Very important. It's true. And again, last day to take advantage of the Jeans page, 50% off the annual subscription rate. So be sure and act if you hadn't done so already. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.